The lost art of selling, I think, really is qualification. Your time as a salesman has actual dollar value to you. You don't seem to think so the way you waste it a lot of the times, but it has value. And whenever you try and spend your time and selling skills on a prospect that you have not qualified, you are wasting the value of your time. And no competent salesman will attempt to even start selling to anyone until he has qualified them. Why should you qualify? Well, there are things you need to know before you can make a professional presentation, before you know what, in effect, to sell them. First of all, you've got to know what they want to buy. And by the way, let me take a moment here and warn you about one of the gravest errors that I see salesmen making is the error of trying to sell what the salesman wants to buy and assuming that the same thing you would like. For example, a real estate salesman who loves big yards. He takes people to a home that has a big yard and he's pushing this big yard and the man he's selling to hates to mow. Are you going to get any sales made? You're making the deadly error of selling what you buy, and your job is to sell what they want to buy. So, let me give you an illustration of this. A number of years ago, I was making a major presentation in San Francisco. And at this particular presentation, they were making some major awards. They were making awards to four salesmen, four outstanding salesmen who were receiving a national award this particular evening. And one of the salesmen who achieved this national award this particular evening was a San Francisco real estate salesman, residential real estate. Now, this was a man who earned $18,000 to $20,000 a year selling real estate. Obviously, there were an awful lot of real estate salesmen in San Francisco who were doing a whole lot better than that. Why then did this particular man get this national award? The answer is fascinating. This salesman is totally blind. He never in his lifetime has seen a product or a home that he sold. And the minute this meeting was over, I started on the dead run for this salesman. And when I got to him, I started by saying, "Tell me, with your handicap," and he stopped me. "I have no handicap." He said, "I have an advantage over every other real estate salesman in San Francisco." I said, "What do you mean advantage?" He said, "I have no eyes of my own. The only way I can see a product is through my customer's eyes." And then he went on to say, "You know, I have another advantage. I can't drive. If they say no, they can't just leave me there." The capacity to see it through his eyes so that you can sell him what he wants to buy. This is a piece of information we have to qualification. What does he really want to buy? Then we have to find out who is involved in the decision. First of all, you have to beware of the problem of selling to the wrong person. And you also have to be sure that everybody who's involved in the decision is available for you to make sales presentations to. So you have to find out who is involved in the decision. Then you have to determine when will the decision be made. And after you've determined when the decision will be made, you have to determine, is the money or credit available to to make this purchase. Now, these are the things you have to know before you can start making any kind of a sensible sales presentation. Isn't that right? You can't just start winging it. You've got to know these things so that you can be intelligent in your sales presentation, your choice of product to sell to. Now, how do you go about the process of determining these facts we've just talked about? Let's start with the what does he want to buy? How do you find this out? Well, there's an interesting premise here. Most sales today are made to people who already have the product or service that the salesman is, and the sales process is designed to provide them with an improved version of the product or service they now have. More or better insurance, a more modern or effective business machine, a better home, a newer automobile, and so on. With this base, we can start qualification with this kind of question. What do you like most about the, now name the product that you're selling that he already has in another form. What do you like most about the automobile you have now, for example? And let him tell you what he likes most about the automobile or the whatever that he has now. And as you listen to the he likes about what he has now, you're gaining knowledge of what he wants to buy. Now, after he has told you what he likes about what he has now, then ask this question. What are the things that you want to change or improve when you choose a new in your product? And now what's he going to do? He's going to now tell you what he wants to improve. You know what he wants to keep, and you now have your handle on what he wants to improve. So now you're beginning to get an understanding with these two questions of what he actually wants to buy. Now, if you don't fully understand after you've asked these questions his desires and needs, keep on asking questions until you get your hand on what he really wants. Okay, what do you do with a rare exception who doesn't own anything like the product or service you are offering? You alter these questions. First of all, by asking, do you have a friend or a relative who owns or uses this product or this service? If they don't own it themselves, the odds are they know someone who does. What do you like most, and what does he like most about the product? And then, what would you want to improve who had this product or service? Okay, now we know what he wants to buy. The next thing we have to determine is the who. Who is involved in the decision? Now, you do that this way. Who will you look to for guidance in reaching a decision regarding your offering, leasing, purchasing this equipment, whatever it is, home, railroad car, automobile, whatever? Who will you look to for guidance? Now, if he says, I don't need to look to anybody, you know he can make the decision. Now, if it's a technical or industrial equipment firm that you're selling to, might use this. You're talking to a business executive. Who will you call on to give you the technical or scientific guidance that you will need on a project of this type? You see, we've got to find this who. You affirm this who section by asking either of these questions. First, would I be wrong in assuming that the final decision is yours and yours alone to make? Or would I be wrong in assuming that when you and your wife make a decision, it will be a final decision which will not be countermanded by anyone else. Now, don't you think this is something you ought to get early so you know who you're selling to and what they're going to buy and who's involved in the decision? Now, we still have to find out when, don't we? When is the next question. Start reaching for when by explaining the lead time involved. From the time of your decision, it will take us 4 months to manufacture this equipment and complete its installation on your production line. Technical salesmen might have to teach, in this case, lead time that way. Real estate salesmen might say, from the date of your decision, it usually takes 90 days to complete the financing arrangements and arrange for you to occupy the property. Or, finance product, other than a home. From the date of your decision, it usually takes blank days to complete the financing arrangements and deliver your, and again name the product. You've now established for him the lead time. Once you've established this lead time, now you have to reach for the decision date. He understands this lead time. Now, say, when do you plan to start using, occupy, start profiting from, whatever, your new, and now name your product. When do you plan to start actually putting it into use? Now, when he tells you when he actually plans to start putting into use, you now, by subtracting the lead time, know when his decision date is, don't you? Then you say to him, then your decision can be made no later than, and now you name the decisional date. Isn't that right? I don't care what product it is. There may be a lead time of only a day. There may be a lead time of 90 days. There may be a lead time of 6 months or a year, which I've dealt with in some commercial and industrial firms. But by arriving at the lead time, then you get him to commit to the decisional time, because that's the time you as a salesman are concerned with. By the time you've gone this far in your qualification sequence, you should have your own decision as to what he is going to buy clearly established in your own head.
Let me quickly interject a formula that we've created, taking all those wonderful concepts that will help you remember about these qualification questions. I call it NEEDS formula. Now, it's an acronym, NEEDS, N-E-A-D-S. Phonetically, NEEDS is spelled that way, N-E-A-D-S. And when you meet someone, if you will think about their needs with the acronym, you will start asking the right questions. Now, each letter stands for an important part of the process. The N stands for have now. The E stands for what do they enjoy about what they have now. Why? They'll want that again or something that's better than what they enjoy. The A, what would they like to alter? Well, of course, alter is a word that can mean change or improve. We want to make sure that our product can do that or something better. A D, the decision maker. And besides the two wonderful questions you just heard Doug deliver for you to retain, I developed this little sentence. If we're fortunate to have a, you'd state your product or service, that totally satisfies your needs, who other than yourself would be involved in the final decision? It's a wonderful way to find out, can they say yes? And you need to know that, don't you? Now, the S is why you in sales exist. What do you think it stands for? Think for just a second. It stands for the word solution. That's right. You and I are in the solution business. We find out consumers' needs, and we satisfy them with the solution which is the benefits of our product or service.
Still not completely clear as to the specific product. Show him illustrations of three different products, each of which could meet his wants and his needs. Or three different styles, if varying styles are available. Or three locations, or three of anything, so that you can ask this question. Which of these three, now name the product, is you the most? And now you've got a final piece of information available. We've gotten involved now in an understanding of the product we are going to sell him. Now you are able, after asking these questions, to mentally visualize exactly what you're going to sell him. Now we've got everything but the money problem out of the way. So now let's find out if the money is available. And the system we're going to use here is a system that we call triplicate of choice. And I want you to pay very careful attention to this, because this is a system that really works. In a commercial industrial sale, the total amount of money involved is usually important. In any type of financed sale, the total amount is of far less importance than the original or the monthly investment. If it's a financed product, they really don't care what the total is. What they're concerned with is the original investment and the monthly investment required. Let's illustrate the triplicate of choice as it would be used by a commercial industrial salesman who was going to triplicate of choice for the full amount, the total. Let's assume here that the total amount involved would be $25,000. The salesman would say, the typical firm acquiring equipment of this kind today is prepared to invest around $30,000. There are some firms with a high current profit who wish to avoid taxes and are therefore willing to invest $35,000 or more. And then firms operating on a tight budget who cannot go beyond $25,000. Tell me, which one of these firms is yours? Now, what did we do? We made the minimum choice the amount of money we wanted to deal with. Now, the odds are that he'll go for the typical or average choice. That means you can surprise him pleasantly when you come up with the actual price. Now, this is how we use the triplicate of choice. Now, let me extend it and illustrate it further, because this triplicate of choice for money is so critically important to you. Let's try it on a financed product. Let's try it in a home. This is a home that would require $5,000 down and $250 a month. Well, let's try, first of all, for the $5,000. We find that families who feel that they are entitled to this standard of living are usually prepared to make an original investment of around $6,000. Of course, there are the few who have $7,000 or more available. And then there are those with outside obligations that will make it impossible for them to provide an initial investment of more than $5,000. Tell me, which one of these three families is yours? You see what we did? Now let's try it on the $250 a month. Normally, the monthly investment in a home of this is about $300. There are some fortunate families that willingly invest $350 per month or more. And then there are those with restricted budgets that cannot go beyond $250 a month. Which one of these best describes you? Do you understand? If you ask him how much can afford, he's going to lie like a trooper. He's always going to go too low, isn't he? But we found that when we go for the triplicate of choice, we in effect startle the truth out of them. So don't ask the direct question, how much money do you have available? Because they're going to lie. Instead, try the triplicate of choice and you will startle them into the truth. And that's what you have to work with. This system even works with a product when a trade-in takes care of the original investment and the only money qualification is the monthly investment. Let's try $100 a month. Most of the people who are enjoying, and I'll name this product, are investing $125 owning it. A few willingly have increased their monthly investments to $150 a month or more. Then there are those with restricted budgets who cannot go beyond $100 a month. Tell me, which one of these people are you? Again, we've qualified the money. Obviously, an insurance salesman can use this triplicate of choice system to handle monthly, quarterly, semi-annual, annual premiums. Whatever your product, work out your own triplicates of choice. If you go through this process of selling only to thoroughly qualified people, you will turn your days into profit.
And the triplicate of choices to work with them. It's amazing if you give them three products that 68% of the time they'll pick the one in the middle. It's also amazing that the triplicate of choice with money that 68% of the time they'll pick the figure larger than the one you're actually closing on. Oh yes, the people that do earn the greatest incomes understand these strategies not the first time they hear them, but by application, by digging in, by honing, by practicing, drilling, and rehearsing.
I know nothing in the world that's more discouraging than the process of trying to sell to someone who can't buy it anyway. You know what happens when you start trying to sell a product to someone who can't buy it? Usually he goes along with you on everything. He says, oh, this is great. I've been wanting this for years. No objections. And you really start getting excited. I got a hot one. And then you find out he can't afford it. Interestingly enough, any time you try and sell to somebody who goes along with you all the way, you're selling to someone who can't buy it. Because if they are seriously interested, there are going to be questions. But you see, you, the salesman, must have this qualification information because it is critical that you don't waste your selling time or his. If you aren't closing at least fourth of the sales presentations that you make are not qualifying. You are wasting your time. And the big time pro knows how many hundreds of dollars his time is worth per day. And he's not going to waste any of it. Qualification. Talking about big-time professional salesmen. Salesmen are not born. They are created. I never in my lifetime have known a big-time natural salesman. Every major big-time salesman that I've ever known, and I know most of them, has been a learned salesman. A man who takes information like we've dealt with here, information on prospecting and information on qualification, and makes that information an inherent part of himself. Because with this skill, you'll whip any natural salesman in your organization. You'll make them look sick. And the great salesman, and by that I mean like the man who introduced me tonight, Tommy Hopkins, like the H&A salesman that I talked to you about, And like the great salesmen of every industry in America, they are tacticians. And these with which you can win. And that's your job, to win sales. So I wish you the skill to win. You see, there's nobody in this room who can't. There's just too many who won't. But one of the things I know whenever I address a group of this type is this. There is greatness in this room. There are people here who will stand tall. People who will reprove the truth that no one has ever said no to you but you. No one has ever refused you anything but you. You and your own skills are determined by you. So there is greatness here. There are people here who are going to revolutionize industries. People who are going to be bragged about for years because of their greatness. They're here. People who will stand tall. I just can't spot them from here. But wherever you are, I wish you that greatness, and I thank you very much.
This is the end of this tape. The program continues on the next tape.